Yahala Voice, the Arab voice in America.
حنجرة ذهبية.
إيه؟ في عربي في الراديو هين بالسيارة في شيكاغو؟
صوت إلى الزمن الجميل، زمان العمالقة والفن الحقيقي.
ألو.
أيوة الحكي يا مرا. بقولوا عربي بالراديو، بيحكوا عربي.
مين هذا اللي بيحكوا عربي؟
هون بالراديو بيحكوا عربي على يا هلا. بقولوا اسمهم يا هلا وهون في شيكاغو.
أنت وين هالكيت؟
أنا بالسيارة مروح من الشغل في مشتقن أفينيو جنب الميلينيوم بارك هذا. بالسيارة وما بفتح على الراديو إلا بسمعهم بيحكوا عربي. اسمهم يا هلا من 1450 من شيكاغو.
يا حج من وين بده يجي الراديو العربي؟ في أمريكا وفي شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم ومن السيارة كمان؟ والله زودتها.
إيش يعني بتقول إني خرفانيت؟ والله يا هلا 1450 من شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم، هيني بسمعهم بالسيارة ومش مصدقتيني، خذي اسمعي.
يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله ما بنرضى تروح من عنا، ما بنرضى تروح، لا والله ما بنرضى تروح، لا والله. ما نرضى تروح، لا والله ما نرضى تروح، لا والله.
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems.
And good morning, I'm Ray. Good afternoon. Sorry, I'm Ray Hanania, and I'm here every Friday at 4 p.m. Chicago time on YahalaVoice.com radio and WCEV 1450 AM radio, live broadcasting to and throughout Chicagoland. It's Friday, August 22nd. Our telephone number here at YahalaVoice.com is 708-321-1313, extension 1. Our producer is Khalid. Give Khalid a big hand. No sound effects? Yeah. All right, that's the kind of like the wild. I like the jihadi type, you know, screaming and stuff and all that stuff. That makes me feel good, like when I was a kid at a wedding. And if you want to chirp in and call and share your opinion about any topics, we want to hear what it is. You can call in. We talk about everything Arab, American, politics, society, the terrible tragedy and the war crimes being committed against the Palestinians in Gaza. We talk about all that. The rise of ISIS or ISIL or whatever you want to call them in Iraq and Syria. What a mess. And the worst part, of course, is innocent people are getting killed. And I know we sit here and we go, what can we do? You know what we can do? Our job is to become successful American Arabs. We need to become successful in this country so we can influence American policy to stop doing the wrong thing. Stop funding Israel. Stop giving Israel the weapons that kill innocent civilians. 2,000 civilians killed in the West Bank, in the Gaza, and dozens in the West Bank. Thousands being killed in Iraq and thousands being killed in Syria. We want to do something about it. And that really the only thing you can do as an Arab living in America is to become a successful American Arab. That is the only answer. We can get angry. We can protest. You got to become involved in our society. You got to vote. You got to pay. And we pay our taxes. You got to let the elected officials hear your voice. You got to support your media. Like this radio station, like Elma Stockball, Mansour Tadros's newspaper, like Rise Up Radio, with Rush and Naperville Bob on Wednesdays at, I think it's 4:30, right? Yeah, I love that show. It's very good. I've known Rush and Naperville Bob for a long time. We're broadcast Talk of the Town, by the way, is brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems, which is the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Their number is 1-800-421-3366. And you know why Life Run Medical Alert is so important? Because if you're a senior or you're in need of help, you don't need just a button to press and send a signal to some remote location that says you're in trouble. You need to be able to talk to them directly from wherever you're at, because you don't want an ambulance coming every time you have a problem. Sometimes you just need somebody to help you and check on something. And the best system to do that is LifeRen Medical Alert System, because they have a band that you can wear on your neck. And when you press the button, you can talk to them directly. You don't have to be next to that little intercom system in the other room that's downstairs, you know, or upstairs in the bedroom while you're on the first floor in the kitchen. So LifeRen Medical Alert Systems, 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live, Talk of the Town, every Friday at 4 p.m. and rebroadcast on Mondays at 11 a.m. You can also go to our website, thearabdailynews.com, to find the podcast of every show and download it from iTunes. Make sure you friend us on Facebook and check out www.yahalavoice.com. This week, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Andy Shalal. Andy ran for mayor of Washington, D.C. He's an American Iraqi artist, activist, and entrepreneur. He was best known as the proprietor of the Washington, D.C. area restaurant, bookstore, and performance venue. I hope one day I get to perform stand-up Palestinian comedy at Busboys and Poets. And he's also a local philanthropist. He ran, he was very outspoken in 2003, against the invasion of Iraq, which we now know was a big mistake. You know, it's 11 years later, and it was just the worst thing we could do. I'm not saying that Saddam Hussein was a good person, but what we did was we destroyed everything in Iraq and left it open for the fanatics and the extremists to come in and take over, and that's exactly what they're doing. We never did win the war when Bush left office. All we did was we kind of slowed it down a little bit to make it look good, so that maybe they could get somebody elected, you know, that would support them, and it didn't work. And in 2013, Andy Shalal ran for mayor of Washington, D.C., and we're going to talk about that, because running for political office is probably the most important thing that you can do to support Arabs in America. Running for political office, voting, letting the politicians know how you think, but having a voice in the debate. And it's not about winning. You don't have to win and become mayor of Chicago. You should run. In fact, I wish there was an Arab that would run for mayor of Chicago against Rahm Emanuel. And I know the guy has $14 million in the bank. His family's very wealthy. His father was a member of the Irgun, and his brother is one of the wealthiest entertainment agents in Los Angeles and with offices in New York, very powerful. So I'm not going to say you're going to beat him, but I can tell you, if you were to run, and I would volunteer my political experience to help you, because I've been a reporter for 40 years and in communications, I will help you win at least the debate, if not the election. Because the public needs to know what we think. As American Arabs, we pay our taxes. We serve in the military. I served during the Vietnam War. My dad's an uncle served during World War II. And I have so many people that come up to me, they stop me on the street and say, oh, you Rayhan Ania, you Arab, you know, you're a Muslim. And I go, well, I'm actually Christian, but I'm proud to be called a Muslim because I'm Muslim by culture. You know, Christians in the Middle East were the original Christians. And I tell these evangelists here in this country that Palestinian Christians are the original Christians. And as an original Christian, I can tell you that Muslims are the closest supporters to us than anybody. They support Christianity more than anybody. And they'll say, well, you're a terrorist lover. You're not even an American. And I'll say to them, really? I'm a terrorist lover. Did you serve in the war to defend this country?
Oh.
Thank you. I'll say to you, did you serve to defend this country in an American uniform? And 90% of the time, these people who call me a Arab, who say you're a Muslim, you know, we don't like you, you're unpatriotic, 90% of them never served, never wore a uniform in defense of this country. And I can tell you that 10,000s of Arabs who have worn a uniform and defended this country, including me, and that shuts them up right away. So many American Arabs have served in the military. When I served during the Vietnam War, there were two brothers who served with me who were Palestinian Muslims. My best friends, the Asi brothers, they served during the Vietnam War with me. And having served, I didn't like the Vietnam War, but I'll tell you what, I did like the fact that when it came time, I served this country, and there are other American Arabs just like me who served this country, and I love it when those right-wing fanatics come up and say, you're an Arab, get out of here, you're unpatriotic. And I ask them, did you serve in this country, in the military? And they say no.
No,
and
no,
it
no,
shuts
no,
them
no.
up. Right away. And I've asked Mayor Rahm Emanuel. He won't answer me. You know, he volunteered and served with the Israeli military, but he won't talk about it because he knows that, you know, he didn't serve in the U.S. military. Anyway, this whole thing has to do with being American Arab. The best thing you can do as an American Arab is, one, run for office, get involved in local government. Whether you win or lose is besides the point. You win when you run and people listen to you. You may not defeat the person you're running against to win the office, but you can make a strong statement that will help us. One of the people that has done that, and I was just so proud when I read that there was somebody in Washington, D.C. running for office who was American Arab, was Andy Shalal. And I have Andy on our line. Andy, welcome to Talk of the Town in Chicago. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, listen, next time I'm in Washington, I'd love to come and perform stand-up Palestinian comedy for you for free. You don't have to pay
me.
I would love to do that.
I'll take you. You're on.
I've heard so many good things about Busboys and Poets. You're the owner of Busboys and Poets, correct? A restaurant, bookstore, performance.
I am indeed.
Yeah, it's and I was telling our listeners, you also ran for mayor of Washington, D.C. in November 2013. And I know that, you know, people go, oh, what's the point of running? What was the point of running? Andy, tell us, why did you run?
You know, I've been in the city for a long time. I love the city. I've always seen it as a city that has so much more potential than it actually has achieved. It's a global city. It has so many opportunities, I think, for us to connect with other parts of the world. We tend to be rather provincial, I think, in the way we do our politics in this city. And we're often mired with, you know, this corruption and this scandal and that scandal. And we never really move forward on very important things that we need to move forward on, such as, you know, homeless crisis that we have, schools that are not doing so well, housing that's out of control as far as costs and things like that. So politicians that I knew that were running for office were not really speaking about those issues. And I thought, you know what, I want to stop standing on the sideline and criticizing who's in the office.
Yes.
And actually go and run for office and be part of the solution rather than just complain.
And did you feel that you were able to achieve something? I mean, listen, and I'm asking you these questions. I think I know the answer because I've been a political reporter for 25 years covering Chicago City Hall, and I know how, whether you win or lose, just being a part of the debate and the discussion can achieve something great. Did you feel you were able to achieve something by being a candidate for mayor of Washington, D.C.?
Well, no doubt. I mean, the conversation changed when I was in the room, when I was running. We had over 50 debates throughout the campaign, and these debates, definitely the tenor of the debates and the conversation completely changed because I brought up issues that none of the other politicians would dare to bring up, issues that deal with race, issues that deal with poverty, returning citizens, all those issues that I think can make the city great. The city cannot grow when a large section of it, a large proportion of the population, is not doing well. It just cannot do well if everyone is not doing well. So I wanted to bring those issues up and certainly change the debate, certainly brought up that conversation. And even after the primary, when I didn't win, that conversation has continued. And I'm still involved in the current nominee, the Democratic nominee, in making sure that those issues don't get forgotten and pushed aside.
And having covered politics for so many years, I know that people who get engaged in politics, whether they may not win an election, but the people who win look at them and say, wow, that guy has a constituency. Let's reach out to him. Let's add his voice to our voice. Let's find a way to work with him. And in exchange, let's find out what he and his community need. Now, this kind of touches on a real touchy aspect, though, because you're American Arab. But I don't believe that you ran as an American Arab candidate. You ran as an American. But being Arab does offer something that politics is missing, doesn't it? A perspective our community?
A lot of people were actually bringing up the Arabs, so they would say Iraqi-born or immediately that every time there was a mention of my name, it started out with Iraqi-born candidate, blah, blah, blah. And so we challenged them on that, not that there's any problem with being Iraqi-born, but why is that necessary in the conversation?
In other words, why single you out?
Columbia.
Right, why single you out?
If you're going to say where everybody's born, tell me where everybody else is born too.
Yeah. The Italian candidate, the Irish candidate, the Mexican candidate. Nobody does that except for some reason. Even as a journalist, they always say, oh, and now we're going to be talking with the Arab journalist, Ray Hanania. I go, wait a minute, I'm the City Hall reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Right, exactly.
I'm an American.
And I just happen to be Arab,
Right, and I'm proud to be Arab. But just because I say don't call me Arab doesn't mean that I'm not proud of being Arab. I'm saying don't box me in, right? Don't box me in as a candidate. You pay your taxes, the same issues that every American faces, you face. What were the big issues in your race?
Well, the large issues really dealt with issues that I think most large cities are dealing with today. Education. Our education system is failing a lot of our kids. Almost 50% of our kids drop out before they finish high school. That's a crisis.
Wow.
We have an issue with lots of jobs, but not a lot of people that are qualified. We have a homeless issue that's out of control this year. We actually had people having to sleep in recreation centers because homeless shelters were completely booked. And people are staying in homeless shelters, not just for a temporary basis, but for a long time, for years sometimes. So that's been a problem. The way we spend money in this city, we have so much money in this city, and yet we have a $2 billion, what is called a rainy day fund, that doesn't get spent easily and does not really provide the services that a lot of the citizens who don't have opportunities are in need of. So that was a problem, and I spoke about spending that money in order to shore up our infrastructure and make sure that people have some sort of permanent housing as opposed to just temporary sheltering, which costs a lot more, by the way. Those are the type of things that I was talking about that a lot of the candidates would not touch and started to talk about because I brought them up and the media did focus on it. So that was really, really important.
And what was the message, I mean, obviously, to your main message to mainstream Americans. And then I want to ask you about, you know, being Arab, obviously, there is a message as Arabs, and every candidate who's ethnic has one for their ethnic community. But and I want to have you talk about what that message is for the Arabs. But talk about what was your main message to American voters?
Well, I think there were a couple of things. I'm very outspoken about the Israeli-Palestinian issues, and I've written a lot about them.
Can I stop you there and say congratulations? Yeah. Because I am proud that there is a Palestinian congressman in Congress from Michigan. He's a great guy, Justin Amash. I'm shocked that he's a leader of the Tea Party, and he's been boxed in. He can't really talk about being Palestinian because he's there. So, and I'm proud of you. You're not Palestinian, you're Iraqi, but it's an issue that Americans should be concerned about, right? It's not you're Arab.
It's an issue. Yeah, it's an issue of social justice. It's an issue of justice all over the world. And I would always say, you know, we have our southeast area here in D.C. is always in a crisis, and unemployment is very high, and schools are really failing in southeast. And I always say, whether you're in the Middle East or you're in southeast, issues are the same. They don't really change. I mean, right now, what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, is no different than what's happening in some other parts of the world. People are
Chicago,
tired
Detroit,
of being pushed around,
city, and, right? Washington.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
happening. So I think we have to connect the dots in many ways, and I think sometimes people need to see that in a more stark way, where they see that there is a connection when it comes to the way we vet justice, whether you're in Ferguson or whether you're in Gaza. It's really not that different and not that big of a stretch to be able to think about it in those terms.
My guest on the line is Andy Shalal. He ran for mayor of Washington, D.C. He happens to be Arab American from Iraq. His family is from Iraq. He ran in 2013, and I was very proud. I think it was January 2014, right? Beginning of this year? Or was it last year? The beginning of this year.
I announced the candidacy on the 8th of November, and the primary happened the 1st of April.
That's right. I apologize. The 1st of April, 2014 was the Democratic primary. Do you have a few minutes to stay with us? We got to take a quick commercial break. And can we talk some more?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Sure.
My guest is, again, Andy Shalal. He's in Washington, D.C. Our number, if you want to call in, and maybe Andy can encourage one of the listeners out there to run for office, because I think more American Arabs should run, because we are American. We're part of the system, and we can bring something to the table that other politicians can't. Our number here is 321-708-321-1313, extension 1. Khalid is our running the board, and he'll put you right on with our guest, Andy Shalal. I'm Ray Hanania. We are going to be right back here at Talk of the Town Radio in Chicago right after these messages.
الابتسام الجميلة تصنع المعجزات، ولكن من يصنع الابتسام الجميلة؟ Family Dental of Lincoln بإشراف الدكتور نضال عبيد الخبير في علاج وتجميل الأسنان. Family Dental of Lincoln، تلبيس، تبييض، تقويم، حشوة، روت كنال، زراعة أسنان وغيرها باستخدام أحدث التكنولوجيا الطبية. We accept all insurance kinds and public aid even for braces. Family Dental of Lincoln 5206 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Call and ask for Leila at 773-561-5106.
A beautiful smile can make a difference.
Do you have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
The first Arab American Festival in the South Side of Chicago is happening this summer. Watani Chicago Festival is in the heart of the Arab community for 3 full days at Toyota Park. Singers, musicians, debki groups, a bazaar, a cafe, henna tattoos, free carnival rides, and more. Watani Chicago Festival, August 22nd through the 24th. For tickets, go to sandstoneevents.com. A one-day pass is $16 and a three-day pass is $32. Online only.
مهرجان وطني التراث والثقافة العربية.
وطني يا زمن الغيم الأزرق. وطني يا أمر.
For years, the hearts of good people have broken for the suffering of the Syrians. More than 6 million displaced, nearly 3 million refugees, 80% are women. Children and elderly have faced growing hunger and deprivation. Syrians need food today. Your charity can help Syrians in need. Feed a Syrian family by donating a $50 food basket through Zakat Foundation of America at zakat.org or by calling 1-888-ZAKAT-US. Zakat Foundation of America, the leader in empowering lives through Zakat.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية نوفرها لموائدكم. متطلبات المطبخ العربي نقدمها لكم من خلال ماركاتنا السلطان، كرافت، نستلي، بوك، ريفل بيكان، دانا. ستجدونها في كافة المحلات والبقاليات. للمزيد من المعلومات زوروا موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد، من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. يا هلا
بويس. And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio here in Chicago on WCEV 1450 AM Radio, live broadcasting from and throughout Chicagoland. We're also broadcast live on YahalaVoice.com all over the internet. Our radio show is podcast on iTunes. You can also go to our newspaper website at www.thearabdailynews.com to read some of the local stories that we talk about, the national stories. We try to focus on being American Arab, and one of the topics I really love to write about, of course, because I was a political reporter for so long, was about American Arabs who run for political office, and we're honored to have one of those people, Andy Shalal, in Washington, D.C., who ran for mayor of Washington, D.C. earlier this year. Andy, talk a little bit about what is the benefit to Arab Americans to run for office? I mean, does it help encourage other Arabs to say, wow, Andy could run, maybe I should run, or maybe I should register to vote, or maybe I should help raise money for candidates like Andy? Does it actually have a benefit for us in the community?
Oh, absolutely. I heard it from so many people who said, you know, you just opened doors for so many other people, young people who are thinking of going to politics suddenly see it as a possibility. I think it makes a huge difference. You know, you break that glass ceiling sometimes. And you know, you may not win the first time, you may not ever win, but it certainly opens up the opportunities for others to run and potentially win. That was the whole idea behind running, really, also, is to get people more involved in the political process as well, and to sort of teach our community, I think, that in this country, that's what it takes in order to affect change. It's not okay just look at the television, scream at the reporters. That doesn't get you any results. What gets you results is getting politically engaged, politically involved. And one way to do it is through running for office. That's not the only way. Other ways, people become activists. They become interested in a cause or an issue. That's important, too. But certainly running for office is just as important. And myself being an activist, I've been an activist for most of my adult life, I've always had a distaste for politics, thought of politics as being something I didn't want to get involved in, something dirty, something there. But then you stop and think, and you know, I heard that we always elect the people we deserve.
Right.
And I thought we deserve better. And I need to run to make sure that I see what's in there and why is it such a problem? Why do we have such a distaste for politicians? Some of it is probably earned by the politicians themselves, but much of it is really how the media portrays politics and how they portray the politicians. And unfortunately, that sells newspapers, and it's not always useful or beneficial for a democratic process.
Did you experience any of the negative reporting? I mean, you know, as a political reporter, one of my jobs is always to look at candidates for office, and sometimes there is controversy. You got to bring it up, you know, when you're writing a story about somebody, but sometimes it does get to be too mean, and sometimes the media does have a bias.
It's sometimes silly. That's irrelevant to the issue. You know, I think it just sometimes it gets really silly. I'm reading some of the reporting right now about the McDonald situation in Virginia. And I don't know whether you're seeing it in Chicago, much of it, but in our newspaper here in the Washington Post, we've had an article every single day.
Is that the governor of Virginia, Bob McDonald?
Yes.
Right.
Bob McDonald. He and his wife, who had you know, they accepted some gifts illegally, whatever it was. But it has become ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, to the point where you almost feel sorry for these people.
Well, it's almost like they found a cheap story to squeeze to death.
It is so ridiculous. In the scheme of everything that's happening around us in the world, that rate somewhere below bottom.
Right.
You know, for us to make it into the biggest issue that it takes up front page headlines every single day seems irresponsible,
now,
at the very least.
I'll be honest, as I was a City Hall reporter, and when I look back at my 20 years, I covered every mayor from Daley to Daley. I will say that, yeah, really, I'm telling you, it taught me how to write, though, and how to understand politics. But I was really kind of, when I look back at it, I go, wow, you know, some of the things that we focused on were really worthless in terms of, can we make a better society? Can we encourage people to do things? And now that I'm on the other side of it, and by the way, I'll give myself a shameless plug. I have a new book coming out on communications. That explains how you can beat that. Your worst enemy is the news media, and we need to really look at getting our own message out sometimes using all the different strategies and techniques, you know, that are available to us, and we need to be active in a smart way. But did the media go after you? Did you feel the media was unfair with you when you were a candidate?
You know, I mean, I have to say the media took some pot shots, no question, but I don't fault the media for how I was portrayed. I honestly don't.
So they didn't go after you like with a shotgun trying to destroy you. They may have found something. They turned into tried to bring up controversies.
Yeah, I mean, they brought up a little piece here, a little piece there, something I did before. I didn't vote in a couple of elections, those types of things. They brought up those issues. And, you know, I mean, that's part of it. I mean,
do you know that a lot of reporters I know never vote either? So it's always, and do you know that they hire their sisters and brothers at newspapers and radio stations and TV stations? Nepotism, all the things they write about come from firsthand experience. Believe me.
I've
seen it all. And that's one reason why a lot of people are afraid, though, to run for public office. They think, wow, I'm in the middle of a fishbowl. You're going to know my whole life, who I'm married to, who I was married to. You know, maybe I said something 10 years ago. They're going to throw it in my face, out of context.
Well, they did that. So,
yeah. That
was definitely a fair game. Everything was fair game.
But you, and, it didn't scare you, though, in other words. I mean, you knew going into it.
I knew there's going to be criticism.
Right.
I know there's going to be some negative stuff that's going to come out, so I was kind of prepared for it.
Right.
And I think you have to walk in with that idea. And certainly my skin got thicker as I went further.
Right.
You learn after a while not to take everything so personally.
Right.
And you almost start to enjoy the negative publicity.
Listen, the best advice, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And controversy is an opportunity to spin it,
absolutely,
turn it, and project some other issue. We're on the radio with Andy Shalal. He is an American and Iraqi, an artist, an activist, an entrepreneur. He's the owner of a great restaurant and bookstore and performance venue called Busboys and Poets. If you have a question, I mean, listen, now is the time to look at people who have actually done it and ask for their advice. You can call us at 708-321-1313. You know, American Arab politics is still foreign to our Arab American community. That's why I try to focus on it a little bit, because we should be involved. We've been in this country 160, 170 years. And when you come to a city like Chicago with almost 500,000 Arabs, we can't elect anybody. You know, we have a hard time electing people.
A lot of Arabs are new to this country. Many of them are first generation. Some of them just moved here. And I think for us, politics has always been something that you don't really get involved in, that politics can cost you your life.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we see politics as being something that's dangerous to get into, and it's not something for us. So we stand, you know, we just sit on the sidelines. I think we have to learn to embrace the political system that's here and make use of it, take full advantage of it.
Right.
That's
what it's there for. And when the system doesn't work with us, we should still get involved and help change it, right?
That's
the only way.
What choice is there?
Right. But the other choice sometimes is, well, they don't like us. Let's just boycott or stay away from them. That sometimes is the worst thing to do. To stay away from a system. A piece of free advice I'm going to give you as a veteran journalist is when a columnist or a reporter writes something bad about you, don't take it personal. Call them up. Say, I disagree with you. Let's have coffee and talk, because I'm going to tell you what.
I actually did that a couple of times.
That's the smartest thing that a candidate can do, any candidate, not just American Arab.
Yeah, and these, you know, It's interesting because it is all about relationships.
Also. Absolutely.
It really is. The more isolated you make yourself,
right.
the less attainable you make yourself, the more you're giving others a chance to define you. And I agree with that 100%. I was very involved in making sure that I spoke to the reporters, and when they wrote something that I didn't agree with, I told them I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and I didn't agree with it.
And they're going to be more likely to call you up.
Positive, I said, thank you.
Right.
I'm glad you got the story correct.
And a lot of these guys, I think most reporters don't intentionally try to make you look bad. They're just looking for controversy, and they think they get a big story. So you should never assume that a journalist hates you. Because a lot of times that's
right,
what candidates think. So, listen, can I encourage you to write a book about your experience? Because I'm going to tell you what, your experience is unique. There are not that many American Arabs who have run for office, and there are so many young people in our community. Not enough of them are journalists. Not enough of them have run for public office. You can actually encourage somebody who might become president of the United States if I can get you to announce also, by the way, and make a big news story on my radio show. Are you planning any future run for any other big offices? Like president of the United States?
I honestly don't know right now. I don't want to say that I am or I'm not. Let me put it that way. The process did not turn me off. It was a great experience.
Good.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought I made a good showing. I made new connections and new contacts, and I think the opportunity is there to run again for sure.
All right. Well, listen, Andy, first of all, I so appreciate you taking time to talk to us this morning. And I'm hoping some young American Arab and other Americans, too, not just Arabs, but we need people to speak to the Arab community a little more than we need them to speak to everybody else, because people don't pay attention to us the way they should in this country. And I think maybe your voice just might have reached a young person out there. And who knows? It just might have sparked an interest in government and politics, and I hope that what you did is contagious and helps other people to do the same thing. If you ever need our help, and definitely if you ever run for office, please let us know. We would love to do anything we can to get the word out, get more people to support you, and get you in there. You sound like a great guy. Everything I've read about you is phenomenal, and you're a great role model in our community. Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. We'll talk again sometime. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. That was Andy Shalal. What a great guy. I mean, Khaled, don't you feel like you want to run for mayor of Chicago now? Do you live in Chicago, Khaled? Do you got a relative that lives in Chicago? Okay. Does anybody at the station have anybody who lives in Chicago? Because we can pretend like you live at their address. We're going to run you. You hear the cheering? See? How could you not be encouraged by that response out there? I want to give a shout out to all our friends out at the Watney Festival that's taking place right now at Toyota Park. I was there this morning. Khaled, what a beautiful place. I'm telling you, they got 30 vendors. They have an entertainment stage. They have food. They have carnival. And it's very affordable. And the biggest, most important thing about this is several years ago, we had an Arab Fest. And the city, I don't know, the new mayor that was elected, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, he really doesn't like us. You know, I like to leave the door open to him, but he just won't respond. He's so mean sometimes. You know, when you refuse to acknowledge a community, it suggests things. And I don't want to believe all the stuff that's being said about him. But, you know, he is a politician, and I don't know why we should give him a pass, you know, when we might criticize other politicians. So I write about him in my column all the time at the Southwest News Herald and the Des Plaines Valley News. You can pick up my political and my columns on local government and issues every week in the Southwest News Herald and the Des Plaines Valley News, two great newspapers that I write for now. And you can also read about American Arab activities at the Arab Daily News at thearabdailynews.com. You got to remember, put thearabdailynews.com. But, I want to see people run for office. And right now, if we had an Arab running for office, he could be at the Watney Festival right now, the Watney Festival. You know, as an American Arab, My accent is so terrible. I put the accent on the wrong part of the word all the time. So I always say like the Watani festival to the Watani, you know, and my, and people go, what? You don't speak Arabic? You Arab? But I want to give a shout out to everybody over there. I mean, Ramallah Foods is over there. They got Ramallah Bakery. They had a great stand over there. There was Nablus, Sweets was over there. I love that Nablus Sweets. I got, you know, I love eating all that stuff. And I always got to watch my weight, but I tell you, it's good. Ziad Brothers is over there. They got a big tent. All the people that are volunteering over there to make this festival great. And it's so important to have this festival because it makes a statement to Americans that we're here. And we're part of America, and we're no different than the Irish, the Italians, African Americans, Mexican Americans. They all have festivals, every one of them, and we're just like them. And if they're going to have a festival, we are going to have a festival because we're proud of our Arab heritage, and we won't be defined in a negative way by the news media, which doesn't want to present us in a positive way, because the news media is biased. My book will be coming out next month, and it's really going to tell you how to beat the heck out of the news media. Because you won't, you're going to read some of the stories about what the news media did. When I covered politics and when I covered journalism, you'd look at the media, and at the time, I was just starting in it. But I remember all this stuff, and I'm going to share that in the book and teach you how to use the internet the right way to communicate, to get your message across to American people, because I think that's our biggest problem in this country. We don't get our message. We don't tell our story. That's why I hope Andy Shalal, who was our guest a few minutes ago from Washington, D.C., I hope he writes a book about what it was like to run as an Arab candidate for American office for mayor of Washington, D.C. And even though he didn't win, he is a winner. Because it's not easy to run for office, and he did well. And now he's a voice in Washington, D.C. When things happen, he has established himself by running for office as a voice to say things, not just to American Arabs, but to everybody who live in Washington, D.C. They can hear what he has to say. And it's important that this Watani Festival, that you support it. It's going to be taking place all tonight, all day tomorrow, and all day Sunday. It's at 71st in Harlem at Toyota Park in Bridgeview. And it's the most important thing that we can do. And I know that, listen, there are terrible things going on around the world. I cannot do anything about Iraq, about Gaza. I cannot do anything about Iraq or Syria. I can donate money. I can write and tell American politicians to change their policies toward Gaza and the Palestinians, and how we support Israel. I could do all that. But that won't have the same impact as I can have as an American showing other Americans that I'm just like them, and they need to know us and understand that those people in Gaza are just like me, and that those people in Gaza have rights. And the only way they're going to feel that they have rights is if we show them that we are like Americans. And that association, I mean, really, it's simple. And it's a fundamental aspect of empowerment that I show Americans that I'm like them. And once they identify with me, I tell them that the people in Gaza are like me. And we're not terrorists. These are babies and children and teenagers and women and adults, seniors who are being killed. And they throw this crazy excuse that I've never heard bigger propaganda, that they're using human shields, that they're holding babies up. I mean, it's so ridiculous. This is the most sophisticated military in the world. They can't find a militant without blowing up they're not just blowing up a spot where a rocket was fired. They're blowing up an entire neighborhood where a rocket allegedly was fired. That's what they're doing. And in the process of blowing up that neighborhood, they're killing innocent people. One of the photographers for our newspaper, the Arab Daily News, his home was blown up in Shijaya. It's terrible. The whole home. What did he do to the Israelis? What did he do? Why does he have to be punished? And if I had an association with Americans that was stronger, They would listen to me when I tell them that these are human beings who are dying in Gaza. Now, I'm not against the protests. I think protests are good. But I don't think that's the only thing that we should be doing. We need to do more. We need to build our voice. And it's called subtle strategy. I don't go up to an American and say, you know, you're killing my people in Gaza. You're paying for the bombs that are killing in Gaza. No, the strategy is I go up to an American and say, hey, you and I are exactly alike. Hey, our children go to school together. Hey, we're friends. Hey, let's go to a baseball game. Hey, let's go to a restaurant. Hey, come to our house. Get to know us. Let's be friends. And by the way, once they become our friend, then I could look at that person and I'm going to say, listen, what Israel is doing to the Palestinians in Gaza is a war crime. That person is going to believe us. That person is going to listen to us. That person is going to say, you're right. But they won't say that, even though they believe it deep down, if we treat them like the enemy, if we yell at them, if we tell Americans that it's your fault, if we separate ourselves from them. The more we become different and distant, the more Americans will go away from us and not identify with us. So what is it? We're American Arabs. We're in this country. Our sacrifice is to be American. That's your biggest sacrifice. It isn't to be the greatest Arab in the world. It's to be the most effective American you can. My dad, when I was younger, didn't want me to speak Arabic. You know why? And he said this to me so many times. He goes, Ray, look, I want you to be an influence and I want you to be successful in this country. If they paint you as an Arab, you're going to have this uphill fight for the rest of your life. And because he did that, I was able to get into journalism. And for 18 years, until I wrote 5 stories about the Palestinian Intifada in 1990, I was very influential in journalism, and I helped raise the awareness of Americans about Arabs. And we need more young people to do that. But you gotta think like an American. You gotta act like an American. You gotta speak English better than they speak English. You gotta speak baseball American, not just English. You have to make a difference. And you can change things. That's why I like Rush Darwish. That guy sounds like he's my brother, and I'm sure that doesn't help him when I say that he sounds like he's my brother, but he's an American and Arab. And when an American looks at him, they see an American. And once they see that American comes close to us, and we become friends, and we can influence them. But if we look different, we will never be able to change things. We will never be able to make it better for our people in Gaza. We will never be able to do anything in this country that's positive. That's why I am such a big fan of this festival, the Watani Festival, that's taking place right now at Toyota Park. It is about saving the people in Gaza. It is about saving the Arabs in the Middle East. It is about educating Americans about how good we are. That we have a great culture, that it's a peaceful culture. Islam is a religion of peace. And everybody that comes over, they say, well, Ray, you're a Muslim, you would say that. I said, well, first of all, I'm not a Muslim, I'm Christian, but I am Muslim by culture. And I'm proud when people mistake me for Muslim. I'm very proud of that. I think it's great because the Islamic religion is so beautiful. It's an extension of Christianity. We are so close. And we need to stay close together. But we need to be American. We need to do more. And we need to support it. And I think supporting a radio station like Yahala Voice is very important. And I'm really proud that they've allowed me to do a radio show here on Fridays. I did it at WLS for like 10 years, and it was a lot of fun. And I got a lot of Americans, by the way, who listen to the show. You know, they're a little shy. You know, they don't always call up. And a lot of Arab Americans, sometimes they don't call because they don't speak English really well. And I do an English show, which is fine. But you need to become active. You need to engage. You need to talk to people like Andy Shalal. And that's what we're going to do on our radio show in coming weeks. We're going to talk to the people that are making a difference in the Arab American, the American Arab community. We're going to talk with them about how we can change the way Americans think about us in a successful way. very proud of what we do. And anything exciting going on over there? I'm just... Oh, that's good. Hey, Josh, how you doing? Well, you were at the festival, right?
Yes.
How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, isn't it phenomenal? It's great. And I'll tell you, the weather is phenomenal out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The weather is great. It's going to be great tomorrow. They got some great... I love Arabian food. No rain tonight. No, tomorrow's going to be beautiful. Sunday's going to be beautiful. You guys did a great job. We do not need Mayor Rahm Emanuel to do the work for ourselves. We have done it ourselves. Yahala Voice has done it. Sandstone Productions, I think, is the company that's doing it. They just, Sandstone Events. Sandstoneevents.com. They're the place. You can get tickets online, by the way, right? At Sandstone Events. Oh, they're at the door now? Okay. So you go to the door. It's at 71st and Harlem. That's where I'm going to be. So if you want to yell at me or pat me on the back or say hello or have a, right? Or, and Khaled's going to be there. You want to fight with Khaled? Or you want to share a falafel sandwich with me and we'll talk about how we can elect an American Arab to office. We can do it. I'm telling you. I think we can do it. We should elect more and more Arabs to every suburban community should have an Arab running for trustee and mayor. There should be an Arab on every ballot this spring. This spring, there should be an Arab on every ballot running for office, an American Arab. We are American. Don't let anybody ever come up to you and say you're not American. We're more patriotic than they are. All these people that criticize us, that attack us, we're the ones who are American. They're not. Because no American, a real American, wouldn't single us out for racial reasons. So we can stand up for him. And I don't mind doing it. I love it. Believe me. I just love it when an American comes up to me and says, you're not an American. You're an Arab. Yes, I am an Arab. You're a Muslim. Yes, I am a Muslim. And I'm proud to be Muslim, even though I'm a Christian. I'm actually a Christian Muslim. I think that's really what I am, a Christian Muslim. And I'm proud of that. So remember, listen, you can get more information on this show by visiting thearabdailynews.com or by visiting yahalavoice.com. And I urge you, please, support the Watani Festival this weekend. It's a big deal. It's a matter of pride. And not only does it make you feel good, but you will have an impact on Americans. You will help change their mind in a small way. You may not see it right away, but positive things. The radio show, this radio station, one of the most effective radio stations I've been on in years. They're making a difference, and you can be part of that difference, and you can make things great. Khaled, I want to thank you for producing the show. I almost shot down Harlem Avenue all the way down to the festival at Toyota Park at 71st in Harlem, thinking that we were going to do it live from there. And we go, wait a minute, I don't think we are. I think we got to be here. And I almost missed my own show. And I would have been really upset because this guest we had on, Andy Shalal, if you missed it, you'll be able to hear it in reruns on Monday at 11 a.m. Central Time on yahalavoice.com. Or you can go to iTunes and look it up. They record it and we podcast it every week. I just want to say thank you. I think we're out of time, but I want to thank our board op, Khaled. I want to thank everybody here at Yahala Voice. Yay! And all of you for taking the time to listen. We will talk to you later. I'll see you next Friday, 4 o'clock Chicago time, talking with another guest. So thanks. We'll talk to you later. Have a great weekend. I hope to see you at the Watani Festival at Toyota Park today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Take it easy. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.